You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. Now, in light of that particular report, I also spoke to Justine Sachs, who co-authored the letter to Lord in the spin-off, calling on her to cancel her Israeli shows. I talked to her about the letter, why she wrote it, and why it is important for Jewish people to speak out against Israel. So I guess firstly, what made you decide to write that piece to Lord, asking her not to play in Israel?
Well, we've been sort of organising in New Zealand for a while, trying to like initiate like a dialogue with the Jewish community as well as the Palestinian Solidarity Network about how we can sort of, you know, have solidarity with the Palestinian people and pressure the Israeli government from all the way here in New Zealand. So that was like a question that I've had for a long time. And when Lord announced she was going to Israel, being a fan of Lord and knowing she, you know, she was passionate about social justice, she was really like a conscious person. I knew that this, like that was an opportunity almost to have this conversation about Israel's human rights abuses in a New Zealand context. And so we sort of jumped at that chance because we also knew, you know, we knew that Lord would be receptive to that. So we thought now's a good time to educate people, you know, more so than even stopping her from going. We didn't know what her reply would be, but we thought, no, you know, we have to act. We have to sort of say something.
So were you surprised that she responded?
I was expecting, it's weird because I was surprised, but at the same time I wasn't surprised, right?
Yeah.
Because I think anyone who's a fan of Lord, like, does know that she is, like, she cares about that kind of stuff, right? So I didn't think she would just be able to ignore it. I think if she ignored it, I would have presumed that there were other pressures that she, you know, she wasn't able to respond.
Yeah.
But I really did think that she would care. So even if she didn't respond publicly, I knew that it would get to her and that she would see it, not like get to her emotionally, but yeah, I knew she would see it and I knew she would care. So I guess I wasn't surprised. I was surprised and I wasn't surprised.
Did you feel an obligation as a Jewish woman yourself to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like there's like kind of like two things in, yeah, it's, for Jewish people to speak out about Israel's human rights abuses, it's one, like, just, you know, caring about human rights, being a human being and knowing that every human life has value. But also it's about, you know, carrying on our traditions and our culture of being free thinkers, of being independent, of being empathetic, of standing up against oppression and injustice. And every year that the Jewish community is silent on Israel, every year that we're complicit, every year we send money, is another year that those traditions and that culture is lost. And I grew up with that, so I think it's very important to continue that. So it's also about self-preservation as much as it is about, you know, solidarity as well and caring about human rights in Israel.
Do you think she would have pulled out of the shows had you not written that letter?
I think it was a perfect storm in a lot of ways. I think if the right kind of pressure hadn't been applied, she wouldn't have, because she just wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't have been quite so clear to her. I think the letter was like instrumental in her pulling out. Because there were whisperings, but we sort of made it very like out and public that this was the wrong thing to do. So I do think the letter was instrumental in her cancelling and instrumental in her learning a lot about what's going on in Israel. So I'll take credit for that.
So do you think it's had an effect, I guess, in her fans learning a lot about what's going on there as well?
Yeah, well, that's what she said.
Yep.
She said that she had been educated on the issue. And in her sort of cancellation letter to the venue where she was playing, she said, look, you know, I did research beforehand, decided to play, but then after talking to people, I decided, you know, I actually made the wrong call. So I think that she was already aware that Israel was a contentious place, that that necessarily the Israeli government didn't have, you know, the respect for human rights that we would expect and we would, you know, demand. But I don't think she quite knew about the boycott. And I think that that's what really changed her mind, or the importance of the boycott.
Now, a lot of people have been attacked for speaking out against Israel, labelled bigot or an anti-Semite. Mm-hmm. Lord was, and you yourself as well came into some criticism. Why do you think it is that a lot of this happens if you speak out?
Well, because Israel sort of presents itself as representing the Jewish people. I mean, that's like a double-edged sword in a lot of ways. So if you criticize Israel, you know, you're criticizing the Jewish people, which is not correct, because no nation state can represent a people. It's a capitalist nation state, right? Like, I'm sorry, but we've existed for 4,000 years. Israel's 68 years old. just the idea that it would represent the full, like, you know, every Jewish person in the world and their views is just ridiculous. And it's just a way to shut down criticism. Anti-Semitism is real, and that's why, I mean, I care about it. And the more, you know, like, and Israel's behavior actually causes more hatred and anti-Semitism, especially because it says that it represents Jews. So I think it's, I think in the name of preserving Jewish culture and looking after ourselves, it's so important that we criticize and we make sure that everyone knows that Israel does not represent us.
What effect do you think the boycott can have?
Well, see, there's another part of my history where it kind of comes into it, where I'm South African, you know, and my parents lived through the boycotts and divestment and sanctions of apartheid South Africa, and we know firsthand the effect the boycotts can have, and it's actually like a very positive effect. I know it's hard to almost believe. You know, by the time the boycott, I mean, like, at first when South Africans heard about the boycott, they were obviously not supportive because they thought they would personally be affected. By the end of it, when apartheid ended, it was, you know, they realized that, no, this was for the better good, that their, you know, like, that their sort of discomfort or inconvenience was not more important than the human rights of millions and millions of people and their ability to, you know, live their lives free of, like, discrimination and state violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, just finally, are you involved in any other activities against Israeli occupation in Palestine?
Well, I mean, I'm the co-founder of Dayenu, New Zealand Jews Against Occupation, so it's the organisation that I organise with.
Right.
We are organising. We've got a couple of things planned. We want to do some solidarity events with the Palestinian Solidarity Network about Ahed Tamimi. I don't know if you know about that story, with the 16-year-old who's been detained by the IDF for slapping a soldier after he shot her brother in the head.
Right.
Good story. No, it's a terrible, terrible story. It's horrific. So, yeah, we want to kind of raise awareness about what's been going on. We're just kind of taking this as an opportunity to talk about what's happening. And New Zealand, I think New Zealand has a really big role to play,
mm-hmm.
As we always have. And I think it's going to be something we'll really be proud of when we look back on it. So hopefully we can push New Zealanders to take a stance on this, because we already have.
Yep.
With the resolution, the UN resolution about the settlements. So I think we can, if we can just continue to do that, and with Lord now, yeah.
They are nicking our shit. They totally are.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.